And open your Bible. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Look at verse, we'll start with verse 5. And it's a story of Abram, who is, according to the book of Romans, I think Paul said he's the father of all of us. Isn't that what he said? Abram. Okay. Abraham, he's one of the ancient characters in all the Hebrew mythologies. And so, and I'll kind of talk about that or build on that just a little bit, because I want you to get to gather what he's saying here. So the story of Abraham, I use the analogy of the story of Abraham and Sarah as the story of the cerebrum, your upper brain. Your upper brain then, in scripture mythology, if you look at it as it were a medical corollary, it would be referring to the upper brain, and the upper brain would be called the throne room of God, as it's talked about that in the book of Revelation. It's the throne of God. It would be the place where it would say Jesus was crucified on Golgotha was the hill of the skull. So all the mythologies, all the fabulous stories, they all deal with different facets or functions of the physical body and how it works. So Jesus crucified on the hill of Golgotha, the hill of the skull, referring to him being that which is bringing the two right and left hemisphere, or cerebrum, or Sarah, Abram, together, or unifying them, bringing them together as one. So here we go. Verse 5, it says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall your seed be. And he believed." The word here in the Hebrew for this word believe, we use it a lot in church when we hear a preacher or a teacher or someone say something that we resonate with, or in other words, we agree with them. And what would be the word that we say if we heard a preacher or a teacher say something and we agreed with it? What would we say? Usually somebody will shout it out, or somebody will say it. What is the word?
Amen.
Amen. That's the Hebrew word. That's a Hebrew word. Amen. Amen. We get the English word amen. Now, what would you interpret the word amen or amen to be? What would you interpret that word? If somebody said amen, what do they mean when they say that? I'm in agreement. Another, that's right. Let it be so. That's exactly what the word amen believes. Let it be, or let it be so. I'm in agreement with it. But what it never means, and this is hard to get it, hard for us to grasp, what it never means is I believe it. It never means that. It means I let it be so, I trust what it says, I'm in agreement with it, but it never means I believe it. I believe it is something you do with your mind, your physical, natural mind. That is not something that you do with your heart or your soul. You don't believe anything in your heart or your soul. You either trust it or you let it be. Simply because God said it, it is. You understand? There's a tremendous difference in that. It's hard for us to understand that difference, because we are taught to believe something. But belief is something that you get your brain or your natural mind, we could call it our carnal mind, to wrap around it. In other words, we can figure it out. We can break it down or reduce it to a place where we say, okay, I believe this, and then the reason you believe it is because you naturally have either disassembled it, and now you can reassemble it. But how many of you know this to be a fact? There are many things that you believe, and then all of a sudden something happens, and you trust it, and it goes against your belief. You ever had that happen? That happens a lot. So this word, amen, or amen, we say amen, which it says, and he believed, it just simply said that Abram trusted, or he got in agreement with something. And I want you to see what he was doing and what he was getting in agreement with. And it all has to do with the physical anatomy. And this is, and every one of us, every one of you are Abram and Sarah. And we don't realize that. Or at least there is a function of your body that is Abrahamic and Sarah. So he says in verse 6, and he said, he believed, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur. That brought you out of Ur. The word Ur is the same identical Hebrew word for light. L-I-G-H-T. The Hebrew word for light is Or. And when you read in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, let there be light, L-I-G-H-T, it's the same word as Ur, you are. It's the Hebrew word Or. So now watch what this says. It says, and he brought him out. Verse 7, brought him out of Ur, the light of Chaldees. That word Chaldees means magic or magicians. Now, here's what he's saying. In the Hebrew, what he says in the Hebrew is not what it seems to interpret in the English. It's amazing to me that they did this, but they did this to tell a story. And unless we realize the story has fabulous hidden meanings and secrets, then we will not unlock the story. We will just think it's a literal story, and it becomes a nursery rhyme, and that's all. So then it doesn't have any power, it doesn't have any content, or it doesn't have the intent. So as we begin to understand that it's a fabulous story, and the reason it's told is now it wants to unlock something within me. Like, for instance, these stories have codes and code words in them, and unless we know how to unlock the code, then we can extract the juices or the meat or the treasure that's locked in the safe. It's like last month's newsletter that we sent out with our monthly CD. I wrote an article about the ancient Kabbalah was considered to be a safe, or the ancient Hebrew was not necessarily a language to be spoken, but it was a safe to house treasures. And unless you know the key to the safe, you can't unlock the treasures. And Jesus addressed the scribes and the Pharisees, which were the religious leaders. If he were here today, he would do exactly the same thing. He would address the religious leaders, and he would say, you have taken away the key. Y'all remember Jesus said that in Matthew 19? You have taken away the key. Well, religion has taken away the key. What is the key? The key is our understanding to unlock the safe. The safe are the treasures of darkness that God has not just hidden from us, but hidden for us. So they're there at our taking, but we have to know how to extract them. And that's a lot about what this is all about. That's a lot about what our teaching here is about, is learning how to know how to take these codes and then use these codes to unlock these mysteries. And when they take the word Ur of Chaldee, you'll find that term used here of Abram a lot, because that's where it says he come from. And just simply to say he come from the magic of light, or he come from the light that is like magic, because the light is that creation or creative energy that is God. Now every one of us, and you realize right here, is every one of us have that ability and that potential, because every one of us are light beings. Every one of us. So as God is light, we also are light. So he says that I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And so the way that he is receiving this is he's trusting what he's gazing at. What he's gazing at is above, right? Because what was he gazing at? The stars. Well, where are the stars at? Terry thought they were in Jennifer's eyes. And what happened to him? He got mesmerized by that. Right? That we all did. We all do, don't we? Yeah. So what happens? Here, Abram, you can call Abram or Abraham, you can call him a stargazer. And I wouldn't be inaccurate to say that, to call him that. He's a stargazer. Why? Because he's looking into the stars. Well, if I say he's looking into the stars, I mean, if you at night have done the same thing, you just kind of look up and they are mesmerizing. They have a magic about them. On a beautiful clear night, you can see the stars and they will kind of draw you into them. And the reason they do that is because they are voices constantly speaking, but we have lost the ability, or we have somehow or another tucked away the ability to hear what they're saying. And that's what we need to learn to do. While we were on vacation or while we were in Florida, which I just used it as a time to read and study and stay in a motel room where it's cool. Because in our room we could look out and see the ocean. And so it was a good time to sit there and just study and for me and extract some things. And I was thinking about another book. I've got about 10 books now, titles, that I want to write. And I was thinking about a book I wanted to write. And I was thinking about what would I call this. I'll call it The Shots of Life. Because you can go to all the convenience stores and you can buy these energy shots. And a lot of people take them. I think they're just real high sugar content. I'm not real sure what's in one of them. I've never taken one of them. I'd probably bounce off the walls if I took one of those things. Because I usually have a good amount of energy anyway. So I was thinking about The Shots of Life. Because if we understood or if we realized that the Bible, as a mystery book, as a medical mystery book, was all about you. It was all about me. It's about me living my life to its fullest potential. If I knew that, if I really grasped that, then I would really be into extracting from it my shot. You understand what I'm saying? Every day I would need my shot, or I would need to take my capsule of my vitamin, my energy, so that I could live to my fullest potential. And that's exactly what the Bible is, but it's been made into a literal dead letter history book, and most people don't want to read it because they're not interested in history, and I don't blame them. But if you had the understanding that this is a book about you, and it's a book about you facing your problems or facing your situations or facing your circumstances, and it's a book about telling you how to take those situations that you face in life, and you face them, if you got up this morning, you face them because they're just simply there, because we live in a world that's filled with dimensions of hot and cold. It's filled with the dimensions of contrast. And those contrasts are hills and valleys. They're ups and downs. And every one of us face them, don't we? Amen. That's what we would say. So be it. And it's true. It is true. Supernatural powers. And I would go along a lot with that definition, because we have a modern day kind of dumbed down definition of magic. But if we really went back into the ancients and their uses of magic, it was to use the magic formulas of the supernatural energy we call God. And it wasn't to cause things to disappear or necessarily to appear, but it was really the magic was using the energy of God to live life. So I should be living as a magician every day by the magic that is God. In other words, it's learning how to tap into that energy without that energy frying me. You know what I'm saying? You get a hold of a 220, it can either knock you down or kill you. You get a hold of 110, it's enough there. It's knowing how to tap into that. See, right here, this building is filled with what we would call electrical energy. And we extract from it, and that's why we're comfortable. We have an air conditioner in the summertime. We have a heating system in the wintertime. We have electrical connections. We have lights. We have all of these beautiful benefits. That's exactly the same way that the Word of God is. It has all of these benefits for us, but we have to know how to unlock the safe. We have to know the code, the formula that unlocks the safe. And, you know, once we do that, then, hey, it's not a big deal. We just learn to live life unlocking these formulas and these codes and these scenarios. Now, Abraham is considered, if you read Kabbalistic material, if you read the ancient Hebrew Kabbalah, they date the Kabbalah back to Abraham. They call Abraham actually the father of Kabbalah, but not as a Kabbalah as a written code, but as an oral code. In other words, Abraham transferred the Kabbalah to his descendants in the metaphor through words or through telling stories. And so when we understand what a mythology is the transferring of the formula or the codes of the energy that we call God. So sometimes it's difficult for us to read the stories and remove them from a historical setting and let them be a mythological setting where they have the power of content in the story. And that's what Abraham. So I'm talking about Abraham as a Kabbalist. And I want you to get a couple of things. When I use the word Kabbalah, I want you to go with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 2. Job, one of the most misunderstood books in the Bible. Job chapter 2. And I want you to see something here. It's always been there. Should say that in most all of your translations, and I'm sure it will. But it's something that we kind of don't grasp or we don't understand. And the reason we don't understand it, again, is the loss of the understanding of the codes. And these are words. It's like I was thinking, again, while we were there in Florida, I was just meditating and thinking about some things. I was thinking that there are words in Scripture that are code words. And unless we understood those code words and knew what they meant, we would misunderstand the use of that word in a story. And I'll give you one word that actually is used in several different ways or several different words, but it means the same thing. And that's the word death, the word drunk, and the word sleep. Now, I can use those words and actually interchange them anywhere so that when I read about something that's drunk, I could also say that it's asleep. Or I could also say that it's dead. Because it's drunk, it's dead. Because it's dead, it's asleep. Or I could say because it's sleep, it's drunk. And because it's sleep, it's dead. So I can, but yet in your mind, you don't associate that unless you're taught to understand these are code words referring to the same thing. And all they are referring to is that I am lost in my physical body or my physical apparatus has now, because it's so overwhelming. The physical body is such an overwhelming instrument. You know why? Because of especially the five outward senses that it has. Those five outward senses see. You can get lost in what you see many times, or you can get overwhelmed by what you smell or what you taste, but especially by what you feel. Most of us live life by what we feel, not right, wrong, not good, bad, but most of us live life by what we feel, and especially if that feeling sparked an emotion in us. And when that emotion gets to rolling, son, it's just like a train going down a hill that's run away. The emotion is in control. And the emotions are not given to us to control us. The emotions are given to us as a fantastic instrument to energize us and to allow us to see the beauty of what's all about and around us. But not to control us. But how many of you know you get so mad, if If you're a person that's given toward anger, you get so mad, what takes over after a certain point in your anger? Your emotions. And what happens when you're so far into that emotion? It's in control of you. Now, what will it do? It will do really stupid things. Emotions will cause you to cuss somebody out. Emotions will cause you to get into a fight. Emotions will cause you to do this and to do that. Why? Because now it's in charge of you instead of you in charge of it. Does God want you to get rid of your emotions? Not at all. God wants you to experience your emotions and control them. Can we do that? We can. But how do we do it? We have to learn to take the shot. We have to learn to take the energy capsule. We have to learn that these words and these codes are given to us so that it is a book about me. If I never know about me, I never know about anyone. And we'll spend a whole life trying to find out something about somebody else. You ever notice that? Especially in a relationship, men and women. In a relationship, you're always trying to figure out what makes her tick. And ain't nobody ever figured that out. And they never will. Do you know why? They can't find out what makes the her in them tick. That's the one they have to work on. What makes him do that? You'll never know what makes him do that. Because he don't know what makes him do that. You see, the whole thing about the journey is to know yourself. What is there about knowing myself? I learn how to take these shots or these capsules or these energy formulas and unlock the keys of me. So I begin to unlock myself to know myself and to know the beauty of myself. And here is one way this is done. Abram just showed us a way. And we possibly didn't catch it. We didn't see it. Abram was gazing into the stars. He was looking at the stars. And he was obviously talking, communicating with the stars. You see, there is that aspect of you that is constantly doing that, but we pay no attention to it. And that aspect of you is right now sitting at the seat of its place, looking toward the heavens and the stars and communicating. And that is the top of your head. The crown of your head. What is right below the skull of your head right here? You could say it's my upper brain. And that's exactly right. It's your cerebrum. It's your cerebrum. Sarah Abram. They're sitting right here in the throne room in the temple of God, and they're gazing into the stars, into the heavens, looking through the ceiling. They're looking out because they are sensing, they're feeling, they are looking, hearing this energy that's coming right now from the heavens, from the stars. You see that? You got eyes in the top of your head. Didn't know you had eyes. Abram sitting in the top of your head looking at the stars right now. Every one of us does it all day long. And we don't pay attention to it. Now, what is he doing? And here's what I want you to see. This passage of Scripture, Job 2 and verse 10. It says, "But he said unto him, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." Now, here is where he's talking to his wife. Y'all remember the story. Every one of you read the story of Job. Everybody has. You've heard preachers preach about the story. They preach a bunch of crap. That's all they've preached about the book of Job. They never tell you anything that's true about the book of Job because they don't none of them know it. It's ridiculous what they've done to the book of Job. Because right here they said, well, his wife said, well, why don't you just curse God? And that, do you remember then earlier in the story, that's what she said, and he said, no. So here, look at this. Verse 10, he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive? Everybody say receive. Everybody say kobal. Kobal. Q-U-B-A-L. Kobal. Y'all say that? Kobal. That's a Hebrew word. Now that word kobal would be the same word as an antenna. It is the same word as a receiver. And so what he's saying here is this. There is an aspect of your being that is a kobal. And it's where the word kobalah comes from. The word kobalah means to be an antenna or to be a receiver. Well, what is it about you that is a receiver or that is a cabal? And notice what it says. Notice what it goes on and says here about your cabal. He said, verse 10 again, but he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God and not receive evil at the hand of God? Do you know what he said? He said, you're going to receive good or evil, or good and evil. Both of them come from God. Don't really say that, does it? Yeah, it does. It really does say that. It really does. You know where our problem is at? Again, going back to code words, talking about code words such as sleep or drunk or dead, all meaning the same thing. Because you are an eternal being, and if you're an eternal being, obviously you can't die. You say, but Brother Lynn, what about my physical body? Your physical body is just a suit you wear. And you only are designed to wear it for a period of time. And then after a period of time, and you should all know this, after you wear clothes so long, you need to take them off. Hello? Why? They stinketh. Sort of like a dead garment, like a dead body. And so you need to change them. So what we do is we fail to understand the changing of a physical body. Paul even calls it a tent. He said it's a tent. You put it on, you take it off. Right? So your physical body is just a tent that you put on, take off. It really don't die. It goes from whence it came so that it can come again. So you take this one off and you lay it down and you get you another one. But we have these crazy false teachings with these wonderful, beautiful people that think they want to keep this physical body forever. And I feel sorry for them, and I say, that's all right. If you want to believe that, you're trying to put your head around it, and none of them get the head around it, and they all get confused because they can't get the head around it, and they want to say they believe it. But so be it. So, you're an eternal being, so even though you're in time, you're timeless. And you have to grasp that. You got to try to grapple with that. You have to try to work with that and figure out what part or what aspect of your being is timeless. And you would have to say, my spirit, my eternal me. In other words, my real me. The real me that I pay very little attention to, and the one I don't know much. And that's one that we need to learn to listen to, and the one that we need to get to know. So he says, can we not receive, that's cabal. And so the teachings of Kabbalah, now watch this and listen to this, the teachings of Kabbalah are about the 22 Hebrew glyphs or letters that we call the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. I don't know if that's how you spell alphabet or not. The Hebrew alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet wasn't given as a language. It was given supposedly by Abraham as a formula of this energy that he was receiving. He was cabal. He was receiving this energy from God. And so he reduced it. He broke it down into 22 glyphs. And the word glyph just simply means holy characters, so that those characters or those glyphs were formulas to unlock the code of that energy. And I realize that's a little difficult for us because we're just not attuned to it. We're getting there, and we're all tuning, we're fine-tuning and constantly fine-tuning so that we can receive what both good, tob, T-O-W-B, that's the Hebrew word, and Ra, that's the Hebrew word. This is good, and this is evil. Good and evil. Okay. It's like I'm working with a red marker here that's not drawing good. Let me get a black one here. Okay. Now, that circle represents the stars, 12 astrological signs, so it represents the heavens. And that snake crawling across through there is called the sine wave. So the sine wave, and I'm going to show you this because we're all receiving, we're always receiving good and evil from the hand of God, but we don't understand what good and evil is. We have taught, we have been taught that good and evil is right or wrong, or we've been taught that it's good versus bad, etc. But that's not what either of these two words mean in Hebrew. Tov or ra doesn't mean that. You can say it means right and left. And if you said it means right and left and you have a child that's left-handed, does that mean that they're bad? Are any of y'all in here left-handed? No? Yeah, I have a granddaughter that's left-handed. Maybe more than one. So it doesn't mean that they're bad because they're left-handed, does it? You don't think a thing in the world about it. Which is better, your right or left eye? Huh? They both work good. You really'd rather have both of them, hadn't you? You can work without one of them. You can work without your left one or your right one. You know, if your left one was evil, and Jesus said, pluck it out, you know, he would be talking about getting rid of something in your physical body. Or if your left hand, if you couldn't keep it where it needed to belong, cut it off. We would go around, we would be one arm, one leg, one eyeball. We would stay in trouble. So, I'm saying that facetiously, right? Right? Yeah. So, you have to understand, I'm punning with those ideas. I don't mean that literally. Jesus didn't mean that literally. Jesus don't mean you got to cut a leg off and pluck an eyeball out. That would be foolish because that, everybody would wind up being one-eyed and one-armed. So that couldn't be what he's saying. It's like somebody sent me a post, and I thought it was really good, and I told them coming down here, if you're going to take the Bible literally, this was a kind of a smear toward literalist, fundamentalist Christianity. He said, if you're going to take the Bible literally, then sell your house and give the money to the poor. I thought that was a pretty good statement. Yeah. I can't remember. Danny had pulled up a post Thursday morning or something that somebody had said on Facebook that Jesus was coming back tomorrow. And I don't remember. It was, you know, one of those bizarre things that people, they get into and they say. So Abraham is considered to be a Kabbalist. A Kabbalist is one who understands the Kabbal, and the word Kabbal just simply means they understand that they are an antenna. Let's everybody do this. Let's just touch the top of your head. Here is your antenna. Your antenna happens to be your cerebrum or Sarah Abram. And so you got your signal up. And you know what? Whether you know it or you don't know it, it's constantly receiving. Constantly. If you go out there and, you know, like for instance me, my hair's really getting thin on top. It's all falling off. Washing down the drain in the shower. I don't know how to get it out of there. It just comes off. But if I go out in the sun, that old bald head now just gets to where that thing blisters up real good and it gets sore, and that sort of touch on top right there. Because I didn't wear a cap. With or without a cap, with or without hair, I am constantly receiving the energy of the sun, and when I go out in it, I can feel it because it blisters me. Got me? So, obviously, there's something coming. Well, what if that energy as cabal was coming as signals of good and evil? Not right or wrong, not good and bad, but a true understanding of what good and evil, right and left, or the energy of pulsation, or the energy that it receives to cause my heart to pulse and to beat, or to cause my lungs to inhale and to exhale. What if that good and evil was that energy of God that told my lungs to inhale and then told my lungs to exhale? I would definitely want to be receiving that signal, wouldn't I? Yeah, I would. Or I wouldn't be breathing. And if I wouldn't be breathing, then I wouldn't be experiencing this beautiful dimension with you folks. I'd be somewhere else. And in my somewhere else. And I realize it's so hard for us to try to rethink that word good and evil. Or the Hebrew word tov and ra. But we have got to do that. We've got to come back so that we can rethink many of these words, because they're code words that unlock this light of magic in my being. Whew. Hallelujah. So, yeah, that's what the word means, antenna. It's to receive a signal or to receive the pulse of energy. Right.
Okay, so if you look at, okay, as far as antennas, TVs, the catching of different signals, the lower the signal, the wider the antenna gotta be, the higher the signal, the smaller the antenna base has got to be. Each rung has got to be a little bit smaller for the higher signal. And basically, what you're talking about is, you know, you've got iron, copper, all different kinds of minerals, nickel in your body. And each one handles different levels of energy that comes out. It pounds you over a period of time. You know, and what he's talking about keeping everything balanced, you know, you don't keep your mindset in a negative state constantly, because all you're doing is drawing negative energy into your system and creating negative impulses inside your body. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to take both of these things, get a balance. A balance, you know. You know, you've got to have enough love, enough, you know, watch out for this, but, you know, keep everything in balance. And once you keep everything in balance, then you begin to move more drawn to the healthier part of your body and the spirit. You'll draw more into that. The higher consciousness begins to change and reverse some of the aging and physical problems that take place. Because in your mind, you keep in balance, and because our purpose is in God. If our purpose is in God, where is God? Each and every one around us. So we work with the purpose of those around us. Keep the balance, the higher energy flow.
Good analogy. That's a good analogy. And right here, this is why this is called the equinox, equinox. And this, of course, you know the story, March the 21st and September the 21st. And this one is called what? Libra? Right? And why is it called Libra? And what's the sign of Libra? It's the sign of the balancing scales, right? And so the reason it is that is because on these two dates, March the 21st, this is Passover, because the sun has passed over this particular balancing beam. And then this one's called Libra because the sun is now falling into what we call fall. And it's also a sign of balance. So, and I use this analogy of the word balance on Libra being the pelvic bone in which is like just exactly, if you look at the picture of a pelvic bone, it's the picture of a balancing scale, simply because it has the two legs that grow out of it to give you that ability to walk or to be balanced or to live in balance. Now, when you see the sine wave can be called Ra and can be called Tov. It's called Ra and Tov simply because it gives this pulsation that we call life in the physical dimension. And that pulsation is the inhale, exhale, or the way that your heart on its own contracts, the way that it beats, the way that it, and it's doing that, it's doing it right now, but it's doing it by a higher level of intelligence than you and I are. In other words, you are not in control of that. You can try to control that. If you try to control your breath, in other words, you say, I'm just going to hold my breath, bless God, I'm not going to breathe no more. You can only hold it so long until a higher intelligence will cause you to pass out, and then you pass out, it takes over. And guess what? Then you begin to breathe. However, when you have fulfilled your, quote, days, or your number of time, that higher intelligence will extract that breath and that pulse from you. And you don't have nothing to do with that either. You might think you do, but you really don't. I know you have all, just like me, I've seen people that die, seemingly, in the physical body, that die, that seems like they should have died 50 years ago because of their health or because of their problem. I had a customer, a good customer. He lived till he was 89 years old. He weighed probably 400 plus pounds. His health was miserable from the time that he was 60 until the time that he died at 90. He was stricken with sugar diabetes. He had heart disease, he had obesity. Heck of a wonderful guy. But he had all of these problems, but he just would not die. And according to the medical field, he should die at any moment, at any time, but he didn't. Why? Because nobody controlled the number of days or the time that that breath come in him and that heart pulsed in him, but a higher intelligence, i.e. God. God controls that. Now, that's a hard thing for us to surrender to. It just simply says that we can make our days miserable or we can make them more blessed by doing exactly what Gary's talking about. Finding where balance is at. When we find where balance is at, we can have nutrition in our life. It's not that you can't have sugar. It's just that you realize that I need to keep this at bay or it might get me at bay. Right? And now what you were talking about, Gary. Same thing is true with everything. That's what this sine wave is all about. And so, again, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago and at the conference. If we could truly learn to understand what the sine wave is about and remove the E from it, we come up with the word sin. And when we realize what sin really is, that we realize that sin is that which causes us or puts us in this dimension called time. And there's nothing wrong with this dimension called time. It's not a dimension of evil versus good. It's not. We have made it to be that. We make that. If we were to live our life in balance, then we would understand what it is to have peace and to have hate. We would realize that hate may have a proper origin in me in balance. And that would be if I learned to hate the things that pull me off the track, that get me out of balance. And not hate other people who are God, who are may not acting the way I think they should act. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because isn't it so easy to get trapped? I get trapped. I get caught in this judgmental, condemning view of something or someone they did or didn't did, should or shouldn't should have. You know what I'm saying? Said or shouldn't have said things. And we all do that. I do that. You do that. We all do that. So the key, again, I'm going to go back and say exactly the same thing Gary said, is come back to understand this balance. To understand balance is to understand what Passover is all about. To understand balance is to understand what Tabernacles and the Libra is all about. And the Scripture's is about all of these. I know every one of you have heard these different dates out of your teachings and out of your Bible. You've all heard about Passover. We get stuck on Passover many times, but it just happens in one day. It does. It happens one day. It's a part of the picture of the whole. So that I can learn that I am, whether I know it or I don't know it, I am an antenna and I'm receiving from the hand of God, good and evil at the same time. Constantly at the same time. Okay, one scripture and I will quit or I'll close. right here. Unless y'all have some comments or questions or what. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just flip over there real quickly with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is a passage we're all very, very familiar with. And if not, we should be. First Corinthians 15. Okay, let's just start with verse 40. It says, "For there are celestial," and I think I asked this a couple of 3 weeks ago. Some of you are in your translation. Does any of your translations say heavenly? Celestial, 40s. Yours says heavenly? Now, okay. Okay, now think about with me, heavenly. Now that's not talking about the planet. It's actually talking about the star system. So actually what you can do with this Greek word here, you could actually say astrologically. It's the same thing. Because the stars are right now in their places doing their thing. And their thing is that they are the promoters of energy and the angles of energy as it's coming to the earth or to the whole universe, because they're constantly doing that. So he says there are celestial, you could say heavenly, or you could say astrological. There are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial. Now some of you may have in your Bible earthly. Does yours say earthly? Earthly. So again, understanding here what he's talking about is he's talking about a heavenly body. Let me draw my stick man real quickly here using all of the same colors. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call this a heavenly, and I'm going to call this an earthly. So you have a heavenly body and you have an earthly body. Now let me just say this to you, and I want you to see if you can grasp this. Your heavenly body includes, I better put, your heavenly body includes your earthly body. You don't have one and not the other. Your earthly body includes your heavenly body. You don't have your earthly body and not your heavenly body. I could say it this way. You are a spirit being with a physical body. You're not a physical body that occasionally experiences a spiritual being. You are a physical body that is made up of a spiritual being. You're not either or, you're both and. And you're both and always at the same time. Now the thing about your heavenly body or your spiritual body is this. It is not overbearing. It is not boisterous. It is not upset because it's not in control and not in charge or not taking the lead of what you're doing. The thing about your spiritual body or your heavenly body is that it just always is there, present. It does have the last word and it does have a higher intelligence. We just don't pay any attention to it. We don't extract it. We just ignore it most of the time. And ignoring it is living in ignorance. Ignorance is just simply ignoring something. It's not that it's not there, it's just simply there. You don't pay it any mind. You pay no attention to it. We're all, I'm talking to me, not talking to anybody, talking to me. I ignore it many times now. Now your earthly body, because of the way it's designed as a sensational being, your earthly body extracts from it through its senses all the beauty of this earthly dimension. Right? So these aren't separate. Now watch this, and I'll play on these words. These aren't separate, but they are divided. And Jesus used this analogy. Do you understand what I mean when I say that kind of, I guess it's confusing. When they're not separate, in other words, you're not cutting two in the middle, and part of you ain't here, but you are divided. And by that, I just simply mean paying no attention to or ignoring my higher intelligence. So when I pay no attention to it, I'm dividing myself from it. Jesus said a divided house can't stand. It will constantly fall. It will. Why? Because it's in struggle. But if I take away the division, Hosea, just hold your place right here in 1 Corinthians. We'll come right back to it. But go over to Hosea. You'll have to go to your index to find this. Hosea chapter 10. Just go to your index. It'll tell you what page to go to. One of the minor prophets. I want you to see what Hosea said. Did he lose the index? Okay. Oh, he has marked up some of Hosea. Yeah, he has. Okay, here you go, Joe. Yeah. Looking at this verse right here.
Okay.
Chapter 10, verse 2. You hadn't marked that one, but you can mark it if you want to. Now then. Everybody found it. Everybody's on the same page. And notice what he said. Their heart, the heart is divided. You see that? Yours says what? Their heart is faithless. Faithless. Everybody see that? Heart is divided, or the heart is faithless. That's why when I use this soul, heart, in my stick man, that's why I draw a circle right here in the middle of it. And I want you to just, we'll stop here in just a second. What I want you to see, or what I want you to understand, and what I'm talking about, when I'm talking about the soul is so misunderstood. Most people think the soul is the spirit, but it's not. The soul is as much the physical body as it is the spirit. That's why in some certain religious groups, or some certain religious modalities, we call what they do, for instance, that song that I wanted to get Marvin to sing, we would call that a colored spiritual song, or we would call it a song of the soul. Why? It has great depth and feeling to it. See, you remembered it now. Now you got to sing the thing here. But now, that don't belong to a certain grouping of people. I feel that song as much as anybody with a different color of skin. And anybody with a different color of skin can feel that song. You know why? Because that song moves you in an emotional way. So it's called a soul song. How many of you remember, or you have heard different music or different groupings of music, they call it soul music. Why? Because it has a certain beat, it has a certain feel, it has a certain movement. What is that movement? That movement is dealing with exactly what Gary's talking about, this sine wave. If you always listen to music, music is, it moves in a sine wave. Everything does. Light moves in a sine wave. What is a sine wave? Drop the E and it's sin. It just simply means timelessness has entered into time. That's what the real meaning of the word sin is. Sin just simply means that which is eternal is now temporal. It's not the wrong and everything bad that you did. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, these are the works of the flesh, and these things you will do. He didn't say you might do it. He said you'll lie, you'll cheat, you'll steal. He said, why? Because they are all a part of the physical apparatus. I know somebody, well, I wouldn't tell nobody a lie. Well, your wife comes in with a dress and you certainly don't like it. What do you tell her? I like it. You liar? Was it the better part of wisdom to tell that lie? Yeah. You don't want to tell her you don't like that. Physical form. Watch this. Now, if you go to the hospital and they hook you up and they're doing this, they're you better hope that. Here's what you don't want it to do. What happens, as long as that thing is doing this up and down, that, you know what that up and down motion is? Your heart is constantly doing it with or without your permission, with or without you knowing it. It's this same thing. It's the sine wave. It's sin. It says that you have entered the dimension of time. In other words, you as a timeless being, a heavenly body, a celestial spiritual being have come into an earthly body. So now the eternal, the timeless, has entered the dimension of time. That's what sin is. That's what you are. The heart is divided. And what did Jesus say? A divided heart, the house can't stand. Why? Because it's constantly pulled against itself. So what is your work? Your work, my work, everyone's work in life is to unite yourself with yourself. Your work is yourself. It's not somebody else. I'm not here to fix somebody. I can't fix anybody. We try that. I've tried that for years. I thought I was going to fix the world. Get them saved, bless God. Combine the spiritual with the physical. Make the two one. Don't try to get rid of one as opposed to the other. You know, many people become so, quote, religiously minded, heavenly minded, their earthly body is no good. It's like a guy I was talking to last night over there. I said something, and of course, he had in his car, it's a good religious guy, he had in his car a cooler with cold beer in it. But it was in his car. And the only way that he would have gotten a cold beer out of his car and been out there in that public domain was to put it in a cup or something, so nobody knew that he had a cold beer. Now, he wouldn't come down here today and say, I had a cold beer. Why? Because in religion, if you have a religious mindset, cold beer is just an earthly, carnal thing, and you don't need to do that. You're going to die and go to hell if you do that, if you drink that beer. But you have to understand, that is not the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit, look at the story of Jesus. I can show you places where Jesus drank wine, got drunk, and then danced around the fire. He got a little buzz, folks. He got a little bitty of a buzz. You could have said, well, he was a drunk. Why do you think the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees called him a wine bibber and a drunk? They did. Why? Was it because he liked to drink a little bit too much wine? No. See, he understood the combining of both. His life is to show an example of your life. As he is, you are. But they won't see it. Yeah. And isn't that what they called a part of the early facet of the church, the way?
There's nothing to separate. It is only judgment that separates us. As you judge, so you can judge.
Exactly.
Only when you think that you can separate and be a human, do you run into these conflicts of good and evil.
Right.
Because they, in reality, they do not exist.
Right.
Only as a judgment.
Only as a judgment. Right.
That's right.
Exactly. When you get stuck here in the heart, and you bring in this division, and you judge this, your earthly or your physical body a certain way, you are the one who had brought, as Terry said. God didn't.
It's impossible. Yeah, God is
okay.
All in all, even if you divide, he's still all in all.
Thank you. Exactly.
Yeah, I was reading, just reading, and I saw a guy said that to me in the Bible.
Right.
I saw it unaware and all these things.
But you know, there's one thing that, I mean, like I said, with the balance. If I live from down here, I want you to party and drink with you, get crazy all the time, day in and day out. But what I'm living from is my negative energies. And I'm drawing those negative energies into play. And if I draw them into play, what am I doing? I'm creating negative stages in my internal life.
Mm-hmm.
So all it's saying is, you know, you can have negative things, but align everything and keep it in balance and draw away from the negative stuff when you decide that you've got a little bit too far with it. Because you can go too far this way or that way and wind up the worst thing to be in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to keep a balance with everything that you do.
And what you concentrate on the most is what you become. You know, that's what you're...
As a man thinketh he is.
Yeah, let me come back and accentuate on what Terry said. To learn to walk in balance is to learn to walk without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone, if that were one of your capsules of the day, in other words, that's one of your energy shots of the day, and you focus on that energy shot, I'm not going to be one to judge. That would be a tremendous discipline. That would be a discipline that would benefit you and make you whole and take away the division of your heart. It would unite your being, and not only unite your being, it would unite you with your brother and your sister, which is just a reflection of you. Because when you begin to judge somebody about some certain thing, if you look deep enough in them, you will find you. And that's really what you were. You were really pointing out something in them because it was inside you. So the only way that you could do that is look at that as a mirror of reflection and bring it home to yourself with no judgment. No judgment. Can't that? There's nowhere to judge. Nothing or nobody.
You know, that happened here a while back with this boy going into the church and killing all these people. When I seen him on TV, there was a compassion that I had for him, you know, as well as the families, but I also had compassion for him remembering what had taken place in his life.
Exactly.
Caused him to do that.
The pain and the hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people don't just do things, it builds up.
I have a really good customer that's an older gentleman, and he is a good man. He's a respected man in the community. And he said, "Did you hear what happened, Lynn?" I said, he said, "You on vacation?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did you hear what happened?" I said, "I ain't got a clue what you're talking about." He said, "Well, they made it legal for all them queers to get married." And I said, "Well," I said, "I don't ever watch the news, and I don't ever listen to the, I read the newspaper." I said, "I don't pay attention to all that." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Yeah, they made it legal." And this is a Christian man. You know, this is an assistant pastor. This is a man who is a good man. I just listened to that and I thought, the sad thing about that scenario is that it's in his heart. It's not all them people that he has to use a slang word to describe. Because when my grandmother, I've used this analogy many times, when my grandmother was alive, she'd been dead now for 30 years nearly, lived to be 94. When she was alive, she constantly used the word queer and gay. But when she would talk about something being queer, she would say, "Well, look at that cucumber, isn't it queer?" And the only reason it was queer was because of the way it was growing. It was different. This is different. That's all it was different. It wasn't negative or derogatory. And then if she said, "Well, them kids are just gay as they can be," she just simply meant they were happy. She wasn't throwing off on anybody. But now we have taken words like that, English words, and we have taken them and tried to apply them to a certain group of people. And here was a good, quote, Christian man, really, really mad because, for some reason, against his judgment, the law decided it's okay for what we would call queer or gay people to marry each other. And I didn't comment simply because it would be just an argument. You know, I think it's all over Facebook now, isn't it? People are all over Facebook fussing about it or talking about it or throwing stones
about
it.
Yeah, where these Marines got killed, this policeman and these Marines got killed, and everything. There's supposed to be a Baptist church that is going to protest by at one of the funerals, and it's got to do with gay.
Yeah.
You know, the gay marriage.
Yeah, he told me an analogy like that. And, you know, people constantly ask, well, what is my opinion? I said, my opinion is worth nothing. So, what difference? You know, to me, it's their life. And so why would I set myself up to judge somebody else in their life? You know?
I just, you know, when people ask me if they start talking about it, I would say, well, I think people are prepared to love who they love. You know? But it shouldn't matter.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. I really do. They don't talk as much about funny, you know, different, you know, guys like guys and stuff like that where I work at. But these guys, I mean, they're so full of hate inside of them. They don't, they don't like black people. You know, they're always saying, I ought to kill each other, all this kind of stuff. You know, you get sick of hearing that. You get sick of it. Because everybody's is part of life. Don't judge nobody or nothing. You know, it's so mad, you know, hearing that. But you got to, you know, if you're working with them, you can't say that. Because, you know, if you say anything to them, you're judging them as bad as you're judging anybody.
Right. Else. Yeah. Yeah.
So
right.
I just up and just walk out and leave them saying they're garbage. You know?
Yeah.
And I can't judge them. Just be who you are.
Yeah.
See.
Yeah. Okay. Happy trails.